Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. You can see it on page 1818 in your pew Bible. If you've got your own Bible, you know where it's at. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Could I have the children join me this morning?
I sneak in here, guys? Right here is fine with me. Well, we got lots of kids this morning. Good to see everybody. How are you all doing today? Good, good. Well, I'm looking around to see at what everybody's wearing. And frankly, you guys all look pretty good today. You guys are wearing some nice clothes. Got all different varieties, some nice button-down shirts, some nice t-shirts. Looks like we got a couple dresses here. Everybody's dressed nice. And why do you guys dress nice for Sunday church? Do your parents make you do that? We're praising Jesus. That's a good reason. It's not respecting? Okay. That's good. Well, there's lots of reasons that we could think of, but today we're not going to talk about how we dress as much. But this is one of the things that I wear for work. And it is a mess. I paint, and so it's got paint all over it. Let's see, there's a hole in here somewhere. A little ventilation in the armpit. And it's all faded out, the numbers are all cracked on the back. And when I got this shirt, it was nice and new. And it had nice bright letters and numbers, and it was a real nice shade of green. Now it's kind of faded, and there's something real messy down there. And then, so I wear those kinds of things to work, but I wear clothes like this and like you guys are wearing for church and stuff. And, but what we really want to focus on is, not as much what we wear, but what our lives are like. Because sometimes as we live our life, it tends to get messy and we, fall into sin, and then it just adds more and more mess to our life, and it, makes us look dirty. And, it's just not presentable. It's not the way that God wants us to live and wants us to look. And so our scripture lesson today was, talking about putting on the new, self, the new person that we receive when we, accept Jesus Christ. And so we take off these old dirty clothes, and Jesus gives us a nice brand new outfit. Maybe it's a nice tuxedo. It's probably something better than most of us are even wearing today. Real nice. Top of the line stuff, and it just looks absolutely amazing. Yes. That's right. It'd be just like that brand new dress, and it, has maybe sparkles on it, and it shines real bright, and that's like what the new self is like. And when Jesus gives us that new self, it shows to other people as well, and we, display God in a new way to those people as we try to live the way that He wants us to live. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we know that we've made a mess of what You've given to us and the life that You've given to us this morning. And we just pray right now that we can accept the new clothing that You have for us and put that on and display Your goodness and Your righteousness living through us as best we can to all people around us, so that they know what You're really like. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I got treats in the back for everybody after worship, so come find me.
Last Friday, I was in the office early in the morning here at church, and all of a sudden, the youth ministry Facebook group that I follow exploded with the news of a new album released just that morning. A rapper and artist, Kanye West, had just released his new album entitled Jesus is King. I spent some time listening to it, and it is very clearly a Christian gospel album. Now, Christian rappers and artists, they release a lot of new albums, and nobody ever really makes a very big deal out of them. Sure, someone might say something like, have you heard the new insert Christian artist name here album? But it would never really get more than a passing comment on this youth ministry group. But last Friday, all the youth pastors in the world, it seems, were super excited and couldn't wait to play the new Kanye music for their youth groups. One youth pastor said, I declare Friday, October 25th, 2019, National Youth Workers Spend the Day listening to Kanye's new release, Jesus King album, Day. It wasn't me. I didn't say that. So who is this Kanye guy, and why is it such a big deal that he released this very Christian album? Well, let's go to the ultimate source, Wikipedia. Wikipedia says, Kanye Omari West was born June 8, 1977. He's an American rapper, singer, songwriter, record producer, entrepreneur, and fashion designer. His music has spanned a broad range of styles, incorporating an eclectic range of influences, including hip-hop, soul, baroque pop, electro, indie rock, synth pop, industrial, and gospel. He is among the most critically acclaimed musicians of the 21st century and one of the best-selling music artists of all time, with over 140 million records sold worldwide. He has won a total of 21 Grammy Awards, making him one of the most awarded artists of all time and the most Grammy awarded artist of his generation. And Time magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world in 2005 and 2015. That's the good stuff that they say about you on Wikipedia. But Kanye has a troubled past indeed. In fact, even like, if like me, that you've never listened to any of his music, you may have heard a few of his very publicized misadventures. You may recall a time in 2005 when, during a benefit concert for Hurricane Katrina relief, he criticized George W. Bush, the president, for not caring about black people. The president said in an interview that the comet was one of the most disgusting moments of his presidency, and Kanye got a lot of heat for that remark. Then in a 2010 interview, West expressed regret for his criticism of Bush, and again he got a lot of heat for that in the opposite direction. In 2008, he said he will go down in history as the voice of this generation, an arrogant and haughty statement for which he was widely ridiculed. During a November 2013 radio interview, he said that President Obama had trouble pushing his policies in Washington because black people don't have the same level of connections as Jewish people.
No.
But probably the most notable and memorable controversy was in 2009 during the MTV Video Music Awards. I think most everyone has heard about this one. While Taylor Swift was accepting her award for Best Female Video, Kanye went on stage, grabbed the microphone, and proclaimed that Beyoncé's video was one of the best videos of all time. This set off a wave of internet memes ridiculing Kanye, which I don't think has ever been topped. For those of you who don't know, a meme is basically a picture or a video with words on it, usually mocking something. There were several other notable incidents like these, too numerous to mention. All of this media grabbing attention led to some common other internet memes like, I love you like Kanye loves Kanye. And no one loves Kanye like Kanye loves Kanye. And deservedly so. Kanye has definitely been one of the most egocentric, haughty, and arrogant people around. And then came the breakdown. November 2016, Kanye was committed to the UCLA Medical Center with hallucinations and paranoia. He canceled 21 upcoming concerts and was reportedly paranoid and depressed throughout the hospitalization to the end of November. West said he often has suicidal thoughts, and in an interview with David Letterman, claimed he had to have bipolar disorder. Now, I have personally never listened to any of Kanye West's music until last Friday. I've heard that it is full of blasphemous and vulgar lyrics. In fact, last Friday, when I was listening to his new Jesus is King album on my phone, alone here in the office, the album played the last song, and then, like Spotify sometimes does, it started playing another Kanye song. But this one had cursing and lewd lyrics. I panicked as I quickly tried to turn my phone off, looking around to see if anybody was here to hear it. I would have had some explaining to do then, but luckily no one was here. And I learned my lesson, saving that album to its own playlist so that wouldn't happen again. So this guy Kanye was a mess. But then something happened. A recent Rolling Stone article reports that in January of this year, Kanye West contacted Jason White, a music director of a small local church in California. He needed a choir and a band. Knowing Kanye's sordid history, Jason was apprehensive about getting involved with him. But he met Kanye for the first rehearsal, and he says that he could see something different in him. They started singing Kanye's songs, and then Kanye called him over and he said, I don't want to say those words. You don't want to say what words? We're not going to do any profanity, any cursing. I want to rewrite these songs. I don't want to sing my songs like they've been. And so they rewrote some of Kanye's old songs, eliminating all the profane, the vulgar, and the blasphemous lyrics, changing them to be godly and uplifting. And that was the beginning of Kanye's Sunday service. It's a private, weekly Christian music experience, usually with a short sermon. Now, at that time, Kanye wasn't actually saved yet. He wasn't fully converted. Jason says that he could sense God upon Kanye, that God gave Kanye the idea of wanting to do different music. Then in June, Kanye told his pastor, Adam Tyson, I got radically saved 5 weeks ago. I was just under the weight of my sin, and I was being convicted that I was running from God, and I knew I needed to make things right. So I came to Christ. I came out of the darkness into the light. And Tyson has seen growth in Kanye. He says the fruit that I'm seeing is he's no longer continuing in some of the sin patterns that he was before he came to Christ. Right now, every day, he is living and walking with God. So from what I can tell, there's no reason for me not to encounter that and be a part of that. So while there is a lot of enthusiasm and support for what Kanye and those around him claim to be a true born-again conversion, there is also a lot of skepticism about it. After all, Kanye is well known for publicity stunts that are designed to sell more records and make more money. But while the jury is still out on whether or not this is all genuine and real, there is no doubt that this is making a huge impact on this country, especially those places where the gospel is hard to reach. In this area, there's not a whole lot of Kanye fans that I've run across. In fact, I tried to play some of his Jesus is King album for some of our TAG student leaders. They didn't even want to consider listening to it because it was Kanye. They had no interest in Kanye at all. But in other places of the country, places where drugs, crime, and murder are an everyday reality, Kanye has immense influence through his music. It's probably safe to say that in the past, his music helped to fuel the darkness. But now people are hearing the gospel in places it was never welcome before. But whether we are interested in Kanye or his conversion, whether we believe it is true or just the latest in a long string of publicity stunts, there is something that we can learn from all this. We are reminded through events like this of the intense power of the new believer, the raw emotional strength found in someone who is new to the faith and transformed from a totally wretched state to one of intense love and appreciation for what the Savior has done for them.
Amen.
In our scripture lesson today, Paul reminds us of how the love of Christ is a transforming power in the lives of those who were lost and then were found. He starts out by saying, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." No longer live as the Gentiles do. When a new believer is radically changed by the true and living God, Yeshua, it is evident in how much their life changes. They no longer live as they used to. Some of the change is immediate, and some of it is gradual. But if it's real, then real change is evident in their lives. Kanye has stopped cursing, has come out publicly against pornography, even asked his staff to abstain from premarital sex while working on Jesus as King. But what about others? I know some people in this congregation right now who have been radically changed by the transforming power of Christ, myself included. There were immediate changes, and those changes are followed by years of gradual change in habits and emotional issues that God will change over time as He continues to work with us on us. In the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, Jesus asks, "If you have 100 sheep and one gets lost, wouldn't you leave the 99 and go find the lost one? Then call all your friends and neighbors to celebrate?" The power of the radical change in the new believer brings new inspiration to those who have been believers for some time, the 99. When the one who is lost is found, it is power and inspiration for the 99 to remind us why it is important to never give up, to always keep praying, to continue to minister to those who are trapped in darkness, struggling to find their way to the light. In the next part of our scripture, Paul tells us, as new believers, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your old self. Put on the new self. Paul goes on to talk about how the new self in Christ is not compatible with sins like lying, unrighteous anger, theft, unwholesome speech, bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, and malice. Instead, he says, speak truthfully to your neighbor, doing something useful with your own hands so that you can share with those in need. Use your speech to build others up. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. The intensity of the new believer reminds us that the gospel is everything. To truly follow Jesus means that your whole life is turned upside down. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, everything you pray is through the lens of your new relationship with the true and living God. For those of us who have been among the 99 for a while, this can become fuzzy over time. Because from the moment of our own conversion, the world is constantly attempting to pull us away from Jesus and back to itself. And if we're not careful, we can slip into a very comfortable Christianity, one where we feel safe and secure in our own familiar comfort zones. We believe in Jesus, and we trust Him for our salvation, but What does it hurt if we lie occasionally? We're just trying to keep from hurting feelings. What does it hurt if we curse and use foul language with our friends? We're just trying to fit in. What does it hurt if we live together or have sex outside of marriage? Isn't everyone doing that? Why do I need to tell others about Jesus? I'm sure somebody else is doing that. But that's not what God calls us to be. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, you won't ever be the same. Your life is changed. And the intensity of the new believer reminds us that the gospel is everything. Everything. As Kanye says in the song, God is, the gospel becomes your mission, your eternal soul. It's about your kids, your home, your spouse, your life. It's everything. I don't know if Kanye's conversion is real. Time will tell. In Matthew 7, Jesus warns us about false prophets and how to determine true ones from false ones. He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So far, the fruit seems good. Yet time will tell if this tree continues to bear good fruit. But one thing is for sure. The internet meme that says no one loves Kanye like Kanye loves Kanye, that is not true for him any more than it is for us, or for those who have gone before us. The truth is, no one loves Kanye, or us for that matter, more than Jesus loves Kanye. No matter how true any of us are, Jesus is King. King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is King." Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Father, we don't want to be halfway believers. We want to be all in for you, all in for our King, Jesus. Help us to remember and to regain the powerful energy of the new believer so that we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't sit here and be still, Lord, so that we want to tell everybody until the whole world is healed. In the name of the one we follow, our King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. As is our custom, on All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone home in the previous year. We thank the Lord for their faithfulness, and we pray that the memories that we share of them will rise as a praise offering to God for the lives that they lived among us. Bob Dunn. Ron Rode. Thomas Bachman. Joseph Houts. Mike Geiger. Thelma Sturdick. Bobby Freed. Mildred Fegley. John Horst. Cheryl Boyer. Almeda Keller. Fritz Rehrig. Kenny Reed. John Lloyd. Karen Fry. Ralph Boyer. Chrissy Grace. Please stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Ephesians 3. Please remember, soup kitchen, the table of grace is Tuesday. Wednesday is choir and the new Bible study and the proper Bible study that's been going on for very many years. Choir is at 6. And the Bible studies are at 7, and soup kitchen is at 5 on Tuesday. And today is first of the month offering, which, as you know, all goes to Jess in the Philippines. And don't forget your Operation Christmas Child shoebox. Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.